WHTO.
That's WHTO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing very well. It's always nice to have a chance to come out and say a few words, particularly today. It's a very pretty day out there. It's started out kind of cool, but we're in November. But it looks like it's going to turn out to be a very nice week this week. Which I am glad to hear. Of course, this is election week tomorrow, which everyone talks about. But fortunately, I'm not on the ballot this year, so it gives me a bit of a reprieve. But still, it's very nice, and we'll have the opportunity for people to get out and select the candidates of their choice as we move forward.
All right. I'll tell you what. We got a break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Sure. That's perfectly fine.
We will come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here this morning on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:33. Welcome back. Again, this is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. We mentioned Election Day tomorrow, so polls.
Yes, it is. Election Day is tomorrow. Comes around every 2 years, and for the primary, for the main elections, of course we have the primaries and municipals, which occur at other parts. So obviously the Randolph County Courthouse is busy with the election process and going through it. There was some discussions as to whether or not the courthouse would close on Election Day. That was discussed at the meeting on Friday. We will not. We will be open for normal business as always. Of course, normal business limited in our COVID time as always. And there are a number of people who are early voting there every day. And I'm sure that's going on today. I haven't been there this morning, but are taking place. And with the COVID issues related, they have a special area set up for them, those who come in to early vote. And it's there and available to them as they need. And, of course, tomorrow will be the regular election day and will come off very much as any regular election would.
So, yeah, that's a pretty contentious election.
Well, yes, it has. I try to keep a low profile in some of these things, and not be as fair as I can. But this one, of course, has been. It has a presidential election cycle, and this particular one has been quite a bit more contentious than others. Mm-hmm. But it's available. I would expect a good turnout for tomorrow, since the weather is projected to be very nice, and which is good. We'd like a good turnout. It always helps for everybody to get out and have an opportunity to cast their vote and let everyone know how they feel and select the next the next representatives and leaders who will take care of us. Of course, there are other things going on around the courthouse, and I'll talk about some of those.
Okay.
We did have a meeting Friday, as I just mentioned, and of course there'll be another one 2 weeks from this Friday. We are obviously in the budget cycle and preparing for that. The new fiscal year begins December 1, which is basically 1 month from today. So we are in the last month of our old fiscal year and preparing for our next fiscal year. Real estate taxes are out, as I think I discussed 2 weeks ago when I was on. They are out and in the collection cycle. Of course, they will not all be collected before the end of this fiscal year. So we'll have a split year of the real estate tax cycle over the others. We have some road work that's finishing up. Most of the mowing has taken place since, for the end of the year. There are a few spots they still have to go, and they're preparing and changing over and getting ready for good old snow, which will be coming up here in another 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And getting prepared to mount the snow plows on the trucks and to handle those types of things. We have one remaining bridge project that is pretty much on schedule, although they did get delayed a little bit with the rain here in the last week or so. Last week we had quite a bit of it. But that is on County Road 5, which would be north of Rockwood, about, I'm going to say about 2 miles. I don't remember exactly, but in that area. And that's County Road 5, and it's over what's known as Little Mill Creek. The bridge is in place. I've actually toured it and walked across it, but they still have to pour the ends and get the banisters on and the protective equipment up and finish the road and whatever other remaining dirt work, et cetera, to complete it. But it is pretty much on schedule, and we'll be finished up here before long, and that road will be back open again. We do have a couple of other projects planned for next year that are in engineering studies, but at this point in time, we're not ready to announce or to take care, you know, to do them. But, it's projected they will take place next year as well. And most of these types of projects are funded primarily through motor fuel tax from both federal and the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. I know at one point we were talking about economic development. Is there any news on that front?
Not anything particular, but I'll mention just a little bit about what's going on with it. It is actively pursuing forward. I was going to mention one other quick thing. If you had read the papers and know that the Pierre Menard statue that was at the state of Illinois up at the Capitol, which was displayed, which the Capitol architects elected to take it down. Randolph County was one of two counties that requested to have it. Obviously, it relates quite a bit to our history, you know, with Pierre Menard home and the founding of Randolph County in this area where Illinois began. We did formally request it. We were formally turned down last week, so we will not be receiving it, but we had hoped to receive it. And of course that'll be out in the papers from this week as they announce, you know, from last week's county board meeting. So we were not fortunate enough to have that, although it would have been very nice to have something like that. Also proceeding forward is Randolph County is working on, in connection with Prairie du Rocher and other areas, obtaining a national monument status for some of Prairie du Rocher. We have put forth a very good proposal done by Randolph County Economic Development. It was a really nice piece of work and a very nice and very good proposal to the Department of the Interior. Mm-hmm. And that individual who's the director of it, requesting that they consider us for that. And a lot of times we don't think of that, but remember the Mississippi River and Prairie du Rocher sitting on it was one time the Western Borders of the United States.
It's true.
We don't think of it as that now, but in the early years of the United States, it was the Western Borders and the areas where it went. And it's very worthy of a historical society and, you know, a national monument status. It is very worthy of that, and we are pursuing that. I think that would be something very, very nice for that area and for Randolph County in general. As far as economic development, as you mentioned, there are a number of meetings going on. Actually, I have one Thursday, which is a southwestern area economic development, which I will be attending. On Thursday, I think it's Thursday at noon, Marion, Illinois. That is coming up, working on different area, you know, status and areas of things that we can do. We also have the Enterprise Zone, which I've talked about a number of different times, which is moving forward. There have been a number of applications and interest in it. Of course, as you might imagine, a lot of this was going quite strong in the first part of the year. Then COVID has kind of tapered it off. These things aren't going to be reconsidered and move forward. It's just in that time period, a lot of the times attention turns to other things. And as the COVID issues begin to take care of themselves and then it'll come back to the surface. It's still out there. It's still being talked about. It just is not reaching the surface now with the other things going on, but it will come back and these things are being considered and worked on. Something else has taken place at the courthouse, if you're not aware of it. Part of the Cures and CARES Acts, which were federal acts, which allowed to support and provide money to counties to help in the issues of, you know, COVID, included, money to upgrade, you know, fixtures and, you know, and the facilities to touchless and those types of things. Randolph County is taking advantage of that and I'd mentioned Dr. Keene has done a lot of work on that involved in Randolph County, but we're doing some upgrades to the washroom facilities, which I don't believe they've been upgraded down there for about 45 years. It's been a long time since the courthouse opened. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was 73 in that time period. Of course, I remember it, but I remember I was involved at that time, but I just don't remember which year it was, but I believe it was 73. And so we have an opportunity to replace some of those fixtures and upgrade them and help our bathrooms out and it be a part of the federal funding that was related to the COVID issues, which is really good. We had, if you remember correctly, we were able to completely redo the HVAC, air conditioning, heating equipment in the building about 4 years ago, which was very nice, and that really has helped out quite a bit. And it was just, with 40-year-old air conditioners, it was just time. We were able to put a new roof over the top of the courthouse, and that was something that's very nice. The original roofs were still pretty much in place. We do have one more area that's going to need to be re-roofed before long, and that's up on the main rotunda up at the very top floor where the lookout area is at. There's actually some shingled areas of roof up there, which are going to need to be taken care of. But at this point in time, they're going to have to hang on for a little while longer. But as best possible, we're moving forward with them and doing what we can. So there's a lot of different things out there that you don't normally, don't normally make the main news, but they're issues that people work on a continual basis, trying to improve the areas and the facilities and what we can do with them.
All right. Well, we got another break. Why don't we go ahead and take that?
Sure.
We'll come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here this morning on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Got about 6 minutes left in the program today, talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder and talking about the county stuff. We mentioned earlier the election tomorrow. One of the things on there deals with
the constitutional change, the change in the Illinois Constitution to allow a progressive or a variable rate income tax schedule. Right now, Illinois has a fixed rate income tax schedule. In fact, that you have one rate, and that a rate applies to everyone based on whatever their income level is. Mm-hmm. So everyone pays at the same basic rate, very much the same as sales tax. You go to the store, you buy something, you don't pay sales tax based on how much you make on your paycheck. You pay it based on the amount of the purchase.
Right.
Okay. Everyone pays at the same rate. And essentially, and what I was going to mention on it, and I guess I'm in a unique perspective to do this because I have been an income tax professional for 40 years and have filled out literally thousands of income tax returns, not only individuals, but businesses, partnerships, trusts, etc. And Illinois, and the point I wanted to make or discuss on it is when the Constitution was changed in the state of Illinois, and they had a convention back in 1968, I do remember it, I was young, but I remember I was involved, and the changes took place and became effective in 1969, and that's when, July 1st, 1969, that's when first Illinois was allowed to have an income tax. Before that, they did not have an income tax. And in the process of that constitutional convention, which they had back then, way back then at that time, there was much discussion on whether Illinois should have a flat tax or a graduated or an income tax based on different levels of income. It's not like it was just overlooked or that's old-fashioned and we have a new deal now and this is much better and the times have changed. And no, it was considered very carefully at that time when the Constitution was put into place. And progressive income taxes, as they're proposing now for Illinois, were very prominent in the United States at that time. There were many different levels of income, many different levels of taxation. Some levels of taxation, depending on your income, ran on up into the 75 and 80% of your income. That's like $8 out of $10, $80 out of $100, 80%. And people nowadays, they think, well, federal taxes were never that high, but they were back in that time period. And there were many different brackets based on many different levels, and the politicians changed them continually all the time. And that was that way up until, if you remember, Ronald Reagan in 1980, when he came into office, he proposed a flatter tax system, which became the tax, ultimately became the ultimately became the tax system that we have now. And it took effect federally in January the 1st of 1987. And the federal flattened out their tax system much more, more to match what was Illinois, and is that a way now? So it's not like those things weren't considered when Illinois put the Constitution into place. In fact, they were very definitely considered, and the framers at that time very definitely wanted to make their point that we're not going to have multiple brackets and the politicians changing those brackets on a continual basis. And that's why they set it up the way they did. Well, now, basically, the proposed change, if you actually read the constitutional proposed change in language, which I have, it's only a couple of sentences in the actual Constitution itself, but it basically removes the statement that the taxation must be flat or the same rate at all levels of income. It just basically scratches that sentence out, is what it amounts to. And there's another sentence that applies also down a little further that it modifies. So that basically allows allows the state legislature and the governor to set any bracket they want at any income level they want for any person they want. Basically, the governor gets to change. The governor gets to choose who the winners are and who the losers are. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The governor's now in charge of picking winners and picking losers. Personally, I don't think that's a very good idea. So I'm personally, I do not support that. Of course, it always comes back in the advertisements. Oh, we're going to tax the rich more, or it's just a chance for politicians to raise taxes. And I assure you, it's a chance for them to raise taxes. That's why they're doing it. They wouldn't be doing it for, you know, just for fun. But that's their intent. But if it had some more protections in the original language, such as how many brackets or what maximum rates could be and those types of things, or maximum spreads of rates could be, I could see myself being more supportive of it. But the way it's written now, giving them free rein to do anything they want at any time they want, I just don't see that as something that's good. I don't see any reason for that. When you set up the Constitution of Illinois or the Constitution of the United States, the purpose is not to guarantee everybody everything they want. The purpose is to help protect our future freedoms and our future, you know, our future livelihoods out in way out into the distance. And basically, that this change basically strips away some of the protections that people have. And I don't like to see protections stripped away from people unless you have a very good reason for it. Just to raise more money to spend, to me, is not a very good reason. I'm not saying Illinois doesn't need the money, but I'm just saying that this is not, the way it's written, this is just not a good thing to do. I think they need to reconsider what they're doing. Need to, if they want to move towards a more progressive type of system, you need to put some safeguards in place and written into specifically how it's going to be framed and changed, so that it limits what can happen out in the future. Because no matter how good the intentions are right now, we don't know what, you know, the politicians are going to be there 50 years from now and what they're going to want to do. And these protections, and it's just like in 68 when they put them in to begin with, they didn't know who the governor was going to be in, you know, 2020. But that's why they put them there, for those protections. And we need to be very leery of stripping ourselves of our constitutional protections unless we have a very specific reason for what we're doing. But anyway, that is my thought on it, so I'm not really in favor of it.
All right, well, I guess we will find out.
We'll find out tomorrow how everyone else feels.
Exactly. All right, Commissioner Holder, thanks for being with us.
That's quite all right. I always look forward to the opportunity.
All right, we will talk to you again next time.
Sure.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.